head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, home of, what is it, Cindy? You know the plot line, the slogan, the tagline is?
The Rusty Satellite Show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get you to say it.
What's the tagline?
The most interesting people in the Ville are featured each and every week. I'm here with my guest co-host, special guest co-host, Cindy Tandy. My name is Rick Redding, and as mentioned in the tagline that I've done such a poor job of marketing, Cindy doesn't even know it.
I don't think I consider myself one. I'm just like your media buddy. So
well,
maybe
you were among the first.
But it is true.
You really are. You were on the first ever show, so that makes you special for all time. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Show number one. Here we are, 191 weeks later, and we're still talking about.
So I was 191. I better go buy a lottery ticket.
I think you snuck in one other time as a guest co-host. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's all fun, Cindy. We got some great stuff to talk about. It's a great time of year in Louisville.
Spring fever.
Blooming, and we have spring fever, and all kinds of cool things are happening. And it's St. Patrick's Day week. You're probably going to the parade on Saturday.
I am going to the parade on Saturday, yes. I am of Irish descent, so yes, and that probably explains a lot to people that know me, that there's a lot of Irish going on
in this blood.
So.
You'll be wearing that Kiss Me, I'm Irish t-shirt
I'll always wear.
I'll
have my Cindy O'Tandy t-shirt on. I used to have that personalized plate back in the day, O'Tandy.
Yeah,
my good friend Tony Vanetti used to call me O'Tandy.
O'Tandy. Well, yeah. we ought to break out our Irish accents. I don't know that I have one that's really...
Mine would butcher it, I'm sure.
Yeah, that would be tough. But we have somebody on the show to talk about the blessing of the keg.
Awesome.
Did you know about that?
No.
That happens in Louisville. This is the 12th year it's happened in Louisville, down at Goodwood Brewery. They have some Hibernians in there, and they roll a keg from like Flanagan's to O'Shea's, and they bless the keg. These Hibernians bless the keg. It's a big ceremony.
How
it's a big
fun.
Happy thing. It's on Thursday. If you're hearing the show like the day it comes out, it's on Thursday at 4:30. You can still go. But my first guest is Joel Hobleib, who is the brewmaster and COO down at Goodwood, which is a cool place. I learned some stuff I didn't know about that place.
That's awesome. And then was there a special keg of brew? Like, did they do anything special?
I think they have a special keg. They have a beer that they only, with a special packaging, there's only 150 of them. So you got to be special to get those. And he gave, Joel served me, because I love to drink beer while I'm doing interviews. Wow, we should have one now.
Exactly.
He had this Goza beer that was very tart, and it had hemp in it. So, you know, it was a pretty cool taste. They do a lot of experimenting down there at Goodwood. It's quite a place, and you'll hear from Joel about some of the details about.
Very cool.
Goodwood.
Okay. Yeah.
Goodwood.
You know, I can't say I'm a beer aficionado, so that's good.
Don't drink
a
lot of beer.
I don't, but I'll be the designated driver for people down to Goodwood.
You drink other stuff.
I support the beer. It's just not my thing, but that's okay.
Well, that's all right. Not everybody.
I'll be sure to pass it along and take people there.
I told Joel that since I've been doing this and the Eat Drink Talk podcast, that I've sort of gotten spoiled. I can't drink Bud Light anymore. I'm drinking all this good stuff.
Oh, you're becoming a beer snob.
Yeah, I'm going to beer snob. It's a lot of fun. So we got that. And then the second part of the show, I have a pretty cool little story about a guy named Scott Creamer, who is moving his company, Creamer Architect Firm, from J-Town into Shelby Park, because he wanted to be more part of the city and more part of the community in Shelby Park. As I'm sure you paid attention a couple weeks ago, I had Mike Safai on, who is building the big brewery in Shelby Park,
right around
the corner from where Scott is. So that's going to be a good interview. I urge you to stay tuned for that. That's going to be great. And Cindy and I are just going to, you know, talk about some big issues like hoops that are coming up and St. Patty's Day and all that. So it's a big, big show. I want to, before we get into my conversation with Joel, let's talk about my sponsors.
Oh,
You know our friends at the Eye Care Institute.
Yes.
502-589-1500. They will take care of any of your eye care needs. It's just a great place. A very friendly staff down there. And if you got any issues with your eyes, Cindy, that's the place to go.
My mother endorses.
Yeah.
They take very good care of my 80-year-old young mother. And that's not all, because I've seen my age or anybody that, you know, they go in there. So that they're very multitasking down there, multifaceted.
There you go. And that's okay. Our friends at the Eye Care Institute, and Passport Health Plan is also a sponsor of this show. And I've been doing some work with them this week on a
cool
special project. So anyway, that's all cool. But let's get on with the show. I'm going to come back with Cindy, and we'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. But right now, listen in to learn a little bit more about the Goodwood Brewery from Joel Hoblot.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
Today the Rusty Satellite Show is at the Goodwood Brewery downtown on Clay and Main. I'm with Joel Hoblot, who is the brewmaster here, right?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, I am.
Hey, this. Thank you for welcoming me in here with a great beer you call a goose.
Goza.
Goza. Of course.
Goose is a, I'd prefer it was a goose, but I don't like those bugs running around in my brewery.
Well, tell me about this beer, because it's a little bit tart, I think, and I kind of like that.
Yep. No difference, but why I don't call it a sour is I think tart is a better description. The true Belgian sours have a lot different bugs running around in their beers, where this one is just soured in the kettle, and then we boil it and kill all the bugs, so we don't have to worry about the wild bacteria running around in the brewery.
Well, I'm glad there aren't any bugs in here. I'll say that. But I'm very interested in the story of Goodwood. It's such a recognizable. You guys have done such a great job marketing the brand, but you guys, the whole team here, goes back a long way in terms of beer.
Yeah, this is my 12th year here. I think I'm the old man on the totem at this point. I started here in 05. I think we've got another guy in production who's been here about 7 years, and everybody else I think is about 5 years in or so. We were formerly the Bluegrass Brewing Company's production unit, and we decided that it was really difficult to attract investors and grow as a company when we didn't own the name. So
sure.
We did everything we could to try and make a deal with the Bluegrass Brewing Company, and it didn't work out agreeable on either side. So we both went our separate ways, and we ended up rebranding as Goodwood and ran with the opportunity. Really, it was great for us to be able to launch a whole new spectrum of recipes and kind of update the recipes to more modern ones, and just keep adding new ones all the time now. And it's been nothing but pure growth ever since we rebranded 2 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been 2 years. Now, I know this spot here at the corner of Clay and Main has been, you know, it's not, I guess, the most prominent spot, but you've managed to do a good job attracting people that want to know beer know where this is, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. For a long time, this was like the hidden secret bar where you would go to plan the rebellion. But, you know, now the whole neighborhood's, you know, up and coming. Really, Nulu's had a huge effect on our neighbors right across the street. We've got so much construction going on now that we're probably going to be a hot spot here very shortly.
I think so. You're going to have to get some neon and some other stuff around here.
Right.
Let people know it's here. But it is a great spot with a big condo project on one side and an apartment project on the other. I think you're going to see a lot more activity down here.
Yeah. And we kind of saw it coming. So when we rebranded, we took the opportunity to gut the entire tap room and rebuild it beautifully. And we put in a $10,000 draft system.
Wow.
And it's really paid off dividends, and it looks amazing in here. so much better than when I first got here. There was still carpet on the floors and used couches in the corners.
I think I remember stumbling in here one time when it wasn't as nice as it is now, certainly. But the brewing operation, I mean, it's significantly larger than just the tap room. I mean, you've got almost the whole block, or how much do you have back here?
We've got about 10,000 square feet back there, and we've taken over the whole building now. It's we have, I think another 10 upstairs in just storage, and we have a barrel vault in the basement where we age all of our barrel-aged beers in. There's a huge service elevator that allows us to move anything we want throughout the building.
Okay. Well, I'm interested. I was reading a little bit about Goodwood and its name and its connection, and I guess you guys have some special techniques you use that are unique to Goodwood and why you're named Goodwood.
Yep, we try to impart some facet of wood into every brew. It's presented challenges over the years. Some of them are more symbolic, and some of them are great contributors to flavor. All of our four-pack beers are aged in barrels. The bourbon barrel stout, the bourbon ale, the brandy barrel honey ale are all in barrels. And the red wine saison is more of a seasonal, but it does go in red wine barrels for quite a long time. Our six-pack beers, the ash is not an aromatic wood, so it's more of a nod to baseball bats. One of our neighbors down the street that made Louisville famous, and poplars, the state tree of Kentucky. Again, not a huge aromatic tree, so you're not going to get a lot of flavor out of it, but a nod to the state. And the walnut brown, we actually put walnuts into the mash to just add a little level of complexity, and we do put some oak chips in that as well. But moving forward, you know, we've got these two new beers we've just put out, the Hemp Goza and the Spruce Tip IPA. So we're getting a little more creative with how we add an element.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. I mean, you just said hemp. Now, what is the effect of the hemp in the beer? And I mean, I don't know that you can taste it, or can you?
That's actually a great question. We started this process with the hemp with a collaboration, and I went out to a hemp farm in Kentucky and met with the farmers, and they grow it specifically for CBD oil production, and there's a company here in town that does CBD oil extraction on that hemp. And I met with them, and they brought out a bunch of different products and byproducts of the process of making the CBD oil, and one of them, as it turns out, they weren't using at all. It was a waste product, but it had all the flavors and aromatics that come out of the hemp.
Wow.
They don't really want that. And they worked with me and developed a process to isolate it and clean it, and they distilled it to really make it sanitary, clean, and very, very flavorful and concentrated. Wow. So I was able to get that, and it is extremely flavorful and aromatic.
Okay.
So I added just enough of that to really add a level of complexity. You can kind of notice it if you have a trained palate, but there's a lot going on in the goza already. Okay. You know, there's lemon peel, grains of paradise, salt, coriander. Mm. It has a really wonderful finish compared to a lot of the gozas I've tasted made in America. The finish is just really smooth and clean, and there's a lot of flavors in there, so I'm really happy with it.
Wow. Well, I'm happy with it too. I have my first one here. I've got to get to the big thing. One of the reasons we're doing this now, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, or I should say St. Patrick's Day week around here, and you got the special blessing of the keg going on this week.
Yep. Yeah, it's our 12th annual. It started off really as the birthday for our bourbon barrel stout, and we quickly partnered up with the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and we make a big event of it. Father Fowler comes down and does a blessing of all of our beer, and those that get some of our blessed beer, supposedly I've heard it'll wash away all your sins.
Oh, really?
Next year.
Well, that's good news. I'll have to come get some of that. But I guess ultimately it's a big party down here, right? Mm-hmm. And it's on Thursday night.
Yep. And, yeah, Thursday at 4:30, and we're also having a Blessed Fellow bottle release, which is it's a nod to our bourbon barrel stout, only a little bit bigger and stronger of a beer that has been aged in a barrel. And we'll have about 150 bottles to sell. We're really excited about it. It's got a beautiful green wax label, and we worked with the Hibernians to taste it and make sure it was up to snuff.
Up to Hibernian standards.
There you go. Yes.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up here, but I do want to ask you about, you seem to be somebody who really knows a lot about beer. When did you first start knowing that this was something you might want to do?
You know, before I turned pro, I never would have thought I was going to brew professionally. Mm-hmm. I had homebrewed for many years and knew the local brewmasters and got yeast from them all the time and brewed regularly with friends. But it was just a happenstance. I got laid off of my day job and my night job the same day, and I started consulting company.
That must be a great story, yeah.
Yeah, started a consulting company, and that lasted about 2 years, and I got a call, and my friend was like, hey, we need some help in the brewery. Would you like to come down? So,
and the rest is history?
Yep. I've worked every position in the brewery.
Well, good. Well, it's great to see this this brand growing so much. It is certainly not just here at the tap room, but around town. Your distribution is pretty strong.
Yeah, we're up to 11 states now. We've opened 6 in the last 4 months, and we've got the pedal to the floor, and it's great. Sales have never been better, and we're really getting fresh beer out to the market.
Well, congratulations on all that, Joel, and we'll look forward to the blessing for our listeners. If you're listening on Thursday, get down here at 4:30, and you can help bless the cat.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Hey, everybody. It's Cindy Tandy. I'm in co-hosting the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. And you know what we talk about here? Only the most interesting people in the Ville.
Boy, so, I'm tempted to just let you go on and do this whole segment, Cindy. You're doing so well.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. You're so nice to always have me in. We always have fun. We always get into little unknown things or the hot topic and sort of give a overview.
For our listeners with really long memories, Cindy was on the very first Rusty Satellite Show along with my pal Mark Ebert. That was fun, and now it's almost 4 years later.
Can you believe it? That's awesome.
Wow. I'm still doing the same thing. What have you been doing?
I have been a mother to a budding teenager that I just registered for high school last night. I almost fell out of my chair because I can't believe it. So time flies, because 4 years ago, she was not registered for high school. So happy to get into the school system type of thing and get
and
that all
going. And she's going where?
She is going to go to Assumption.
Okay.
She chose it for their curriculum. Really, I just sort of put the curriculums up for her and said, look at all of these and tell me what you're interested in. And she's interested in business law, and they have a space and aeronautics science program there. She can get her pilot's license. And
I'd always heard a lot of girls go there because they get to wear pajama pants to school. Is that
untrue?
Not true? That's not true.
That's untrue.
Because I've seen them walking down the street.
The skirt is plaid. So maybe
yeah,
the
plaid
pants,
skirt with the pants underneath. That's the uniform.
Every Catholic school, but really, if you're a cool girl, I don't think so. Ellie won't even wear a coat if it's, 2 degrees outside. Good luck trying to get her to wear tights or sweat. No, but her dad's a pilot, and they've got a killer aeronautics program, and she'll have her pilot's license before she gets out of high school.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty strong. Yeah. Do you know that they even have private chefs at a lot of these high schools?
I did not know that.
I met the executive chef last night. I want to talk to them. I'm thinking about maybe doing a little Louisville Uncovered, sort of Secrets of Louisville Chefs, something like, because there's 8 high schools with these amazing
Wow, they didn't have that at Iroquois,
I don't think. I didn't have that at like Stivers or Ballard either. I ate square pizza. But remember the rolls and the rolls in the lunchroom?
Well, let's talk a little bit about school. You got yourself wound up a little bit on Facebook about an issue involving the school system and our government.
I know. And let me preface this by saying I am a public school girl. I went to Stivers, you know, just right up here, and then Dunn, because Stivers, I don't know what happened to it. And then Cameron and Ballard. Okay? And you know why I went to all of those? Is because I lived right in the middle of all of them. And guess what? You didn't have to worry about it. That's the school you went to. And that's where my neighbors went and blah, blah, blah. So it was pretty easy whether you carpooled or rode the bus. Because the first day I ever went to school on a bus, I was going into kindergarten. And my parents put me on a school bus with an armed National Guardsman because it was the very beginning of busing.
Yeah. I was walking a mile to Iroquois at the time. But, yeah, right. It was a big deal.
Needless to say, I'm a little bit older than you, but like school. Yeah. But then again, you know, whatever. So that being said,
what's going on in the legislature?
I know that there's a lot of great kids. I'm going to say this too because everybody starts like pounding on me, going crazy that my kid's in a private school. Yeah, she sure is, and this is exactly why. I know that there's great kids, great parents, great teachers. I know that. I commend you and thank the Lord have mercy. That you're out there, okay? Not my experience. I mean, not as a child, but as a mom who moved to St. Matthew's and literally three stop signs from my house was St. Matthew's Elementary. I could have put, carbon footprint-wise, I could have put my child in a stroller and taken a run to school every single day. But that's not what they wanted to do. They gave me a cluster school choice, and even right in the middle of St. Matthew's, because we were right by Wagner, they give you 5 or 6 schools you have to put in a cluster or whatever.
Right, and you got to make a choice. And, you know, I've been through that. I've had three boys go through the school system.
Ellie was going into second grade, so was she 7 at the time. And they wanted to put her on a 2-hour bus ride with 2 bus transfers every day, mm-hmm. back and forth. So each way, almost 2 hours, and send her 13 miles away to basically the middle of downtown. Now, like I said, her father's a pilot, so he's gone half the time. Literally, he might be home 2.5 days a week, maybe. The only other caretaker I have is my 80-year-old mother, okay? So I'm like, well, you guys, that's not going to work. Like, if I'm working or I'm whatever and I'm set, like, I can't just have somebody shuffle, you know, downtown, whatever. At the time, it was when Berman was saying, oh, well, it's the bus, it's not the length of the bus ride, it's the education at the end.
Former Superintendent Sheldon Berman, I remember him well, yes.
Guess where that school rank. The longest bus ride I could find, basically. It was 44-44. So much for your great education at the longest bus ride. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so that was
So you have this experience, but
so like, then, the perfect diversity mix, that elementary school was actually nearly perfect. Nearly perfect with, you know, the diversity. Almost to the T, okay? Guess what? They still ranked 44-44. So I kept saying, tell me again why I should subject my 7-year-old to all of that rigmarole. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And before we could even get to the school board, I researched. I went through the school budget. I went through all these programs. I tried to figure out, give me a good reason why I should accept this. I was going down to the school to introduce myself to the principal before the school year and say, hey, I'm your, you know, new mom and PTA mom and check it all out. But, you know, I got about 4 blocks away, watched a crack deal on the corner. No kidding. That is no kidding. And hightailed it out of it. So I'm not saying every,
okay,
you know,
so
St.
You
Matthew's
have
a
bad, you have bad experience.
That, so.
And,
right.
And,
so bad
and
experience.
We understand that. But what are the politicians trying to do now with the school system?
Kevin Bratcher, and I'm sure some of his constituents as well, but he's really the one that's championing this bill. He has put forth in Kentucky, you know, because he's with the Kentucky Assembly, he has put forth a bill to basically bring back neighborhood schools. It's House Bill 151, and he's basically saying that all of this transporting of children, and people keep saying busing. Let's go ahead and be clear. It's not busing like we thought in the 70s. It's not the same program.
Sure.
It's diversity, okay? So I know, but everybody calls it busing stall. That's not how I define it. It's diversity mix and all that stuff. I understand. He's putting back a
bill
to say that children have the choice to go to your neighborhood school.
Okay.
So Ellie would have gone to St. Matthew. Okay. She wouldn't be in Catholic school still to this day, or high school, had she been able to go to, you know, the middle school and wherever we were living and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, well, I'll be the other side there. It says, well, why, you know, we're going to resegregate the community because still in this community.
I would like for anybody in this town to find me a 100% all white, all brown, all pink, all green neighborhood. Come on.
Mm. Help me. I could take you to some.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that there's no ethnic diversity in any neighborhood?
There are no whites in the West End that live there. But here's the problem.
Back in the day, there was an NPR, and I want to say it was Fresh Air, but I cannot find it. I found it at the time. Do you know when I wrote a bunch of these articles? I wrote a bunch of these. We were writing, you and I, for WLKYU Local at the time.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And we were writing... for Louisville KY at the time.
That means it was 2010 or 11.
Okay. So I was writing about this and talking about this with you, like when it was all going on. Here's the deal. There was a child on this NPR show that basically said he did great in his neighborhood school and he was from the West End, and I don't know exactly which school.
Right.
But he was from the West End. He excelled. He was an honor student. And then starting at the end of his eighth grade year, they started shipping him across county, and he ended up in one of the very east part of Jefferson
right.
County. Right, so Middletown-ish area or something like that. He said he was so exhausted every day when he got there, so exhausted when he got home. He had no neighborhood feel in his place, none of his neighbors, none of the parents,
sure.
none of the preachers, nobody. He ended up dropping out of JCPS because, and you can't tell me that over an hour bus ride for any kid does them any good, especially if the parents can't go to the PTA meeting because they'd have to take, three
okay.
bus transfers, things like that.
But it's a complex issue. To move it along, this piece of legislation would, it's not going to instantly get rid of all the school buses.
No, it's not. And it doesn't, apparently it does not affect, it's elementary schools primarily.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a traditional school or you're in a magnet school program and all that stuff, none of that will change. It's not like they're going to rip kids out and put them somewhere else. Okay. So there's a lot to be learned from it, and there's a lot of speculation out there. But one of the things that I think people need to understand is that if there is a neighborhood in Louisville and the children do have hardships, there's a program called the SEEK program here in Kentucky that allots extra funds for children that need it, whether it's, socioeconomic with a parent, one parent, two parent, this, that, and the other, okay, government assistance, whatever it is. Every child is assessed a dollar amount. What's happening now are the children that really do need that money most, they are being shuffled and traded for an average kid, like my kid, my $4,000 a head kid that the state gives them, with an $8,000 kid. It's a money swap. The only
okay.
reason that they're doing it is because if you have a school downtown with 200 kids and they get so much assistance, they're worth $8,000 per child. But I've got an East End school and I've got 200 kids that are only 4,000. Guess what they're doing? If you look up the SEEK program, they are money swapping. And that's why the schools that really need it and the kids that really need the money are getting robbed. So if people want to look into this, it's House Bill 151. It's Kevin Bratcher. You can go on his Facebook page. You can read about it. He'll answer any question that you have.
What's the chance of it passing, Cindy?
Oh, it's going.
Okay.
People like it.
Because these Republicans are getting everything they want.
Do you remember all the parents that had to sue to get their kids? Remember there was like 12 sets of families that like sued a few years ago?
Yeah.
It's a big issue. And what Kevin's trying to calm people down and say, look, the kids that really do need the money in their school system, in their neighborhood, it'll be better for everybody, the family, the parents,
Well, it is a complex issue, probably more than we can get in here in this few minutes here.
Oh, no, it totally is.
But I would encourage everyone to look into that. I mean, I am concerned about resegregating the schools and a lot of other issues with the schools.
Yeah.
And so it's important to pay attention. Read the stories.
And just educate yourself on the SEEK system and HB 151, because that's the bill that everybody's talking about with the neighborhood reassignment or assignment plan, whatever they're calling it. So just
okay,
just
Cindy.
Be
well,
yeah.
Let's move on to happier topics. It is St. Patrick's Day weekend, and it is the first week of March, which coincides with your birthday.
Correct. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, thank
Another
you.
Trip around the sun for you,
and
it's always about basketball for you.
Yeah. My dad used to joke that I was born speaking English and basketball. I was born a week after the University of Kentucky had beat Florida by the largest margin in Kentucky's history to date. So that'll
okay.
date me. It was 1970. It's okay.
Yeah, well, they didn't win
it
all that year
big,
or anything. But
no, it was a big, big deal. So when Dr. Gillum delivered me, as the story goes, they were like, oh, hey, got another baby boy, and passed me off. And the nurse was like, and then he goes,
what's the score?
He goes, how about those cats? And the nurse was like, excuse me.
So who's going to go farther this year, UK or U of L? We got the conference tournaments this weekend.
I know.
And then Selection Sunday is Sunday. So what do you think?
Listen, you know, I'm a diehard Kentucky, but I'm going to tell you something. If they don't get this whole wrangling of kids together, if something doesn't change, I went up to that Vandy game. I can't take it. Literally, and Kentucky fans, like, I even hate, ESPN a couple weeks ago said, who's the biggest threat in the tourney, Duke or Kentucky? And I, like, almost screamed at SportsCenter. I was like, why is that a question? Because Kentucky, like, could not get it together. I know that they're doing better. That's fine. But honestly, at this point in the game, I don't have a lot of faith. But then again, I didn't think that U of L would lose here in the last couple of weeks
either.
Well,
Kentucky's been hard to watch, and because, you know, they have close games when they should. But they won a lot in a row. They'll probably win the SEC tournament.
But U of L's doing great.
And U of L's doing great. They're up in the ACC. And you know, what's going to be fun, U of L's going up to Brooklyn, and they're going to probably get Duke as we're speaking on Wednesday, you know, on Thursday, they're probably going to play Duke. So the city will be shut down at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Wait, is it 2 o'clock tomorrow?
2 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay, let me tell you this.
The Cards.
Days like tomorrow, when they play, will be the only day that you will have every single Kentucky fan on the planet cheering for U of L to beat Duke.
Yeah. Well, that's
so
true. Maybe,
Everybody enjoy it. All of you Cardinal fans, enjoy having all of us blue blood Kentucky.
Yeah, we don't need your help.
You don't need it, but enjoy it.
But speaking
allow
of,
allow us to help you.
I'm gonna throw a big thing. You know what I'm doing tomorrow for next week's show?
What?
I'm gonna be talking to a Kentucky basketball legend.
Who's that?
The man who I consider the finest college basketball player I ever saw in person, Rex Chapman.
Oh, is that right?
He's going to be on the show next week, so tune in for that. He'll be talking about his he's doing a charity event this weekend for the Healing Place and talking about his recovery from addiction and his basketball career. So it's going to be a big deal, and
that's cool.
Encourage everyone to tune in for that. Unless something falls through, I'll have Rex on the show next week because I won't actually be in town. You know what I'm doing that's
no.
so cool?
No, I can only imagine. What are you doing that's so cool?
I'm going out to Colorado to with my good buddy John Gilderblum, but my son Josh lives out there, and you know, Josh just started a new job as I think they call him a Noogler. He's at Google headquarters not in Mountain View, but the Google office in Boulder, Colorado.
Sweet. Well, that Noogler?
Yeah.
What's the new? Because he's new at Google.
I don't know.
Is that the what's that stand for?
He sent back a picture with a Noogler hat on. So it's pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to that.
But I'm
getting some interviews done before I go. You'll also hear from probably your Metro Council member. I don't know if he's yours. He's probably not. But Kevin Kramer is my Metro Council member. I'm going to talk to him on Friday, and we'll have that for the show next week as well. But
That's
right
awesome.
Now, we're going to talk about Scott Kramer, who is our next guest on this show. And he is an architect and has a long history, very successful company. A couple weeks ago, I had one of his partners, Diana DiNicola, who is at Flamenco Louisville. Longtime listeners will remember her. Very entertaining guest. But Scott is the man behind the move, and they moved into an old car dealership that was also a floor store down there in Shelby Park. It's a pretty cool building.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. And
that's
always
great to see people, like, you know, to see that, like, building up and getting, you know what I mean? That's
it's a great old building, and it has all the guts of what car dealerships were like before they had to be, you know, 8 acres, you know, out on Hurstbourne or something. But there was a car dealership there, or right there on Shelby Street. That's where things happened then. And now some companies are moving back. And,
how fun is that?
And Kramer Architects is one of them. So stay tuned for that. Cindy and I will come back and close the show right after the interview.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is in Shelby Park, and I am with Scott Kramer.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. I'm very interested in your place here. I walked up, and it looks like
The first thing you forgot to do is change the sign.
The sign is underway. I wish the sign was faster than the rest of the work, but our contractor did a great job. He got us in here in 45 days, and in the process, we were doing a lot of design things that in a fast-moving project, and one of those was getting the sign ready. Our sign contractor is going to deliver that this week.
Okay, well, good. Well, I know there's a lot of guys working on stuff around here. You're an architecture firm that's been recognized and hailed as great, but you have made a decision to move your operation from Jeffersontown down here to Shelby Park. Tell me what went into that decision.
About 4 or 5 years ago, my partners and I were together in a strategic planning meeting, and we decided a number of things that were target markets, interesting type of work we wanted to achieve, and then how to improve our local image. We're known in a lot of outer counties for our school work, but we're not as well known in Metro Louisville. We've done some work for the city. We had a great practice in J-Town. I very much enjoyed being in J-Town for 25 years, Studio Creamer for 20 years in J-Town. But we thought as part of a raising of our exposure, it would help if we moved downtown. So we looked someplace in town that was going to be up and coming. We were very interested in the Nulu area, Broadway, the east end of Broadway. We looked in Germantown and Butchertown. We looked in various places on sort of the eastern edge of downtown. And we just were really drawn to Shelby Park. Okay. We see that as an exciting up-and-coming neighborhood. We like that it is on these major north-south corridors, Shelby and Logan, between downtown Louisville and East Broadway, and all the work that's happening on Goss Avenue in Germantown. So we really thought it was a real hub of activity.
Well, certainly you're right, although I will say that there aren't a lot of businesses operating around here. I mean, it's one of those parts of the city. I had this conversation a couple of weeks ago with Mike Safai, who has moved in nearby, and is going to bring some retail to the right to the area and all that. So, you know, I guess it's not an obvious choice, is it?
Sure. It is not, and that's where we think it's really quite interesting. One of the things about Shelby Park, it is still strongly residential, and it has a high percentage of owner residents. So it's not a lot of rental property. It's a lot of people who have lived here and lived here a long time and consider this home. It's a great eastern edge neighborhood right on the edge of downtown. Shelby Park is a beautiful park that was once home to a Carnegie Library, so it's a very nice part of town from a residential standpoint. And much like the Germantown, Butchertown areas, they've continued to be sort of a working class, a good, strong housing stock, and with, like I said, with resident owners. What sort of has been missing for a long time is a lot of good professional businesses. There has been some retail, and now with the advent of Sojourn's growth here, Sojourn has put great investments in the neighborhood. They've purchased a number of properties, and they have really improved a lot of that property. So that has sparked things like Scarlett's Bakery, Safai coming in, Great Flood Brewery is coming in. They're going to have a bottling shop. Across the street was Zoology. Now they've outgrown that space and they've moved, but I understand an engineering firm is moving in. So we see an opportunity for some of the underutilized buildings to be new either retail or professional offices.
Yeah, I think there must be, as an architect, you must have an actual appreciation for this. But a lot of these buildings in this area, you know, certainly abandoned. I know Safai's place was a tobacco and candy place, and this was a car dealership. You were showing me some pictures of this as a car dealership where they sold Studebakers, right?
That's correct. We last knew it as a Studebaker dealership in 1962. I've heard from some friends older than me that say they bought a Datsun here sometime in the early 70s. So it was that was probably the end of its automotive days. As you and I mentioned, about the 70s, all the sort of auto dealerships had outgrown spaces of this size and had moved to the outer parts of the county. So this building went from being a dealership, an auto dealership built in 1930, in operation through the 60s and early 70s, was last a carpet store, a flooring store, for 30 years. And, and you know, during that nadir of development in this part of town, people boarded up windows or blocked up windows and sort of became very introverted businesses. And we're very excited about what's happening now, where the architecture is becoming very extroverted. People are opening up the windows, putting in new glass where there was once block, letting in the sunlight and letting in the visibility so people can see the activity.
Right.
And we really want to engage with what's happening on the street.
Yeah, well, I think I saw a lot of that with Zoology. You know, I came down to parties down there a few times. You've actually got I know you didn't bring it in because it's been here a long time, this big mural on the wall. That's That's the building next door, right?
That is the park. Okay. And the park is a business incubator. And they have a mural on their north face, which is highly visible on the southbound traffic. And pretty soon, as Shelby becomes two-way north-south, we've got space on our south wall that we're dedicating towards a mural. So the murals that are coming into the neighborhood are really enlivening. It looks as though people are respecting those murals. Blank walls get tagged, but murals seem to survive and add a lot of flair and color to the neighborhood. Okay. And a lot of great aesthetic interest.
Yeah, I didn't know about. I knew there were changes on the one-way streets. I didn't know this was one of them. So
we've been told that Shelby is supposed to become a two-way. Wow. Which will help traffic flow, and then we'll have two-way traffic right in front of our front door. So,
certainly.
So that corridor between East Broadway downtown and Goss Avenue is going to be a highly active north-south corridor.
Yeah, I would think that would attract some retail businesses and stuff, so you can at least go to a coffee shop or something from office. How are your you've got a staff of a dozen or so people?
There are 12 of us, yes.
And how are they reacting to the move?
Well, they love it. I've had a lot of sort of thanks and compliments from everybody. I have to give a lot of credit to Ben Van Dam in our office. He did all of the working drawings for this. It was a bit of a group design, but Ben led the charge, did a fantastic job, and everybody gave input. But what we wanted was an open workspace. We wanted to expose the great structure, as we were talking about these buildings. These old buildings have great bones, and there's a lot of hidden, beautiful structure, and we wanted to expose all that.
Okay, well, I am talking to you. I mean, this is really recent because you've just, I think I saw February 28th was like your projected move-in date, right?
That's so correct.
You're just in here. You've got I know we're not going to invite the public, but you've got a big grand opening ahead, right?
We will have some open houses. We're going to, on the 22nd, a representative from the mayor's office, our metro commissioner will be here. We'll have a ribbon cutting and a cake cutting. That will celebrate our 20th anniversary. Studio Creamer was founded in 1997. So, and on March 1 this year, a week ago, was our 20th anniversary. So
Wow. We're
excited to celebrate both of those in terms of our new office and our 20th anniversary. And then we will have some other events. And we do hope to get very engaged in the Shelby Park Neighborhood Association and have some events here for them as well.
Yeah, well, they'll miss you out in J-Town, I know, where
yes.
I live. But that, you know, that's now a couple weeks ago, as you know, I had Diana DeNicola on
yes.
the show, and that was great. Have you talked her into flamenco dancing during the grand opening?
We thought about that, not for the ribbon cutting, not for that short event, but there may be an event where she's dancing. Yes.
Yeah, well, apparently she's very good at it, and I saw her studio, and you know, it just seems like. You got a great track record, not with just Diana, but you've brought in people. You made Diana and someone.
Stephen Ward, Diana and Stephen Ward are my partners.
Partners.
We had a partner recently retire, Herb Schulhafer. He'd had his own practice. I'd worked with Herb at two other firms, and he joined us in 2002. And after 15 years, and at about age 75, he was ready to retire, and
yeah,
I understand that.
Go.
So what that did is that freed up some ownership stock, and we've got a couple of other gentlemen who've been named associates a few years back, and we hope to make stock available to them. So we're growing the partnership as quickly as we can.
Well, great. Well, it is a one of the things when I was reading about the company is that you've been very involved. You know, certainly you're busy building a lot of schools and mm-hmm. different types of buildings, but your involvement in community projects. What are some of the ones you're most proud of?
I served personally for 15 years in the Landmarks Department, so historic preservation is something near and dear to us. There's another thing about this building that was sort of putting our money where our mouth is.
Right.
I've talked a lot about preservation and neighborhoods in Louisville and thought it would be great to really be part of a project like that. We've been involved in Youth Build, and we designed the buildings for them on South Preston. We have people who've been on boards of like Farmington and some of the other historic homes in town. We like to do as much outreach as possible.
Yeah, well, it seems like an important part to be a part of the fabric of the community and to do those kind of things. Here in Shelby Park, I guess you've met the neighbors
far. We have.
What kind of conversations you've had with people? I guess they're glad to see you coming in.
Absolutely. I met a lovely woman walking down the street as we were under construction. I just came to sort of check on construction, and she came over Claudette and said hello. She was looking in the windows, was curious as to what we were doing. She'd lived in the neighborhood for 30 years. She was excited to see the windows open up and activity. So everyone we've spoken with on the street, anybody that stopped by, we visited the bank across the street. They're excited to see more activity and liveliness on the street.
And you were telling me some you've been researching the history of the building a little bit, and had anything that you've discovered that surprised you?
Well, what is great is we found a postcard from about 1962 that showed that this was a Studebaker dealership in 1962. We'd hoped that we would have found maybe something in the building that would have identified for whom, which dealership this building was originally constructed. But we did uncover the original terrazzo showroom floor. We uncovered some steel. A very interesting thing we uncovered was the steel in the building is from Carnegie out of Pittsburgh, and that was 1930, the year this was built, was the year that Carnegie became U.S. Steel. So this is probably some of the last steel produced in the Carnegie Mills under the name Carnegie. So a great little architectural and construction sort of thing that really thrilled us to find that sort of little hidden treasure. But we've also, when we realized who this dealership was built for, Bro Ballard Warner Proctor, I've met some descendants of the Ballard family and hope to get some more information about this dealership, and maybe we can tell a little more of the story of the car dealership from 1930 up to the 1960s.
Yeah. Well, it's a very cool history. As we wrap it up here, tell me where, you know, you got guys still working here. What's left to do?
Yes. Well, I have to thank our contractor, Gary Parrish, Parrish Contracting. He committed his time and effort. He promised us. Now, I don't think he's taken on another single project while he's done this. We had to get going as soon as we bought the building, closed on the building early January, and we were committed to be out of our previous location by March 1. So 45 days, Gary got us in here. And, of course, there's still some wrap-up finishing work to do. But the bulk of our work, our computers were ready to go the day we needed to move in. And I'm very pleased with that and very excited. So we'll live with a little bit of construction that's going on right now as we put the finishing touches on our office.
All right. Well, it's great to have you in Shelby Park.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show, where Cindy, Tandy, and I are in here arguing about the school system.
It's a healthy discussion. we are enlightening each other on points and counterpoints and encouraging each other to open the mind, read the figures.
Sorry it's a local show, because I'd love to, you know, we could start arguing about Trump and Governor Bevin and all
the
things they're doing
at some point, and we almost got into that, and then I just deferred. I just stepped. And people, you know what I think is really funny is people are like, well, we know you're really pro-Trump, and I'm like, I don't know that I'm so much pro-Trump. Nobody knows who I voted for, as much as I'm anti-Clinton machine. Like,
okay, well, we're all getting what you voted for, and
but no,
you know, it's not that great.
Nobody still doesn't know. No, I may have.
We're making an assumption. That's what we're doing.
Cease to stop fake news. Fake news. I may have written in my English Bulldog Oscar.
We are doing fake news here. It's pretty fun. The Rusty Satellite Show every week is brought to you by the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500, where Cindy's mother is a all-star patient, and by our friends at Passport Health Plan, and we really appreciate their support as well.
How's Passport? Good?
They're doing good. Okay. I write.
Take care of a lot of people.
I do some a piece for Insider Louisville for them every month, so it's
awesome.
It's really good. They're a great member of the community and an outstanding.
I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I asked how they were.
Yeah. Good. So that's all good. So you know, I'm off to Colorado, and what are you going to be doing next week, Cindy?
Well, I guess starting tomorrow, I'm going to be basketball. Yeah, pretty much. And then gearing up, you know, the birthday week kicks off, really the whole month of March, but actually I've laid pretty low. And then, and then St. Patrick's Day, you know, I'll head out with some friends.
Going to the parade on Saturday.
How
would you cope with it? How would this whole community cope with it if, like, U of L and UK this time next week both lose in the first round?
It'll be a mass mourning.
What would we do?
We'll have to close down the business. There'll have to be a hashtag, you know.
Well, nobody gets any business done anyway because they're watching basketball on Thursday and Friday. So it's always an interesting spectacle in the city. The attention
paid. Did you have to jinx us both? Thanks, Rick. if that happens, everybody, call Rick.
They'll get through the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament next week, I'm pretty sure. But certainly come back next week for the next week's cool show with Rex Chapman.
I'd love to hear his spin on what's going on with the team. Well, at least with Kentucky.
Well, I'm sure that we'll ask a question maybe once or twice about what's going on with Kentucky. He's on the pregame shows. If you listen to UK on the radio, Rex is on the pregame shows, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him. I haven't, you know, I was editor of the game programs at UK when he was playing.
Really? So, awesome. Do you have any?
Yeah, oh yeah, I have. I have some issues with him on the cover. Yeah, there you go.
Put him on the wall of fame.
All right, Sandy, well, we got to wrap it up here and get out of here, let people go on with their lives, get to the basketball game, or get down to Goodwood for the 4:30 tapping of the blessing of the keg. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal coming up. And I want to remind listeners that you can tune in to Eat, Drink, Talk on the same Louisville.am network. Myself and Steve Coombs, we talk about all the cool things going on in the restaurant and drinking community.
Yeah, great work.
You listen to that one, don't you?
I do, absolutely. It's awesome. Because then you all save me the time of having to go find everything. And let you keep me hip so that I know what's going on.
Okay, and if you're online, wander around to eatdrinktalk.net and to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city, another website that I operate. I'm just going to say one thing before I close. I was on a guest on a podcast this week called Yes Louisville with a guy named Jason Mudd. Mm-hmm. You familiar with him, Cindy?
You know, a friend of mine just introduced me to that whole concept. And so, yeah, I like it.
It was surprising. Jason's kind of a young guy. He's certainly younger than me.
Yeah.
He called me a legend in media, which that was a first.
That's awesome. Well, you are, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I wanted you to say.
Once,
I said, Cindy, agree with me that I'm a legend in media.
No, you are. That's awesome. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, we'll have to listen.
All right, that's it for the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Thanks to my guest co-host, Cindy Tandy, for stopping in on this sunny afternoon.
Thank you. It's always great to be here. Always fun.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.